Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
While I was preparing, before we came to Johannesburg, we've been here since Monday, I always ask God for one word that will sum up everything. If you talk a lot, I just say one word that sums everything up. And I want to share it with you. It's the word capacity. And I felt God saying over this weekend, he would enlarge your capacity for more of his presence and his power. Amen. And I've seen it. And the second thing I felt while we were in worship was God was just putting on my heart was the hunger in this place is rising to a new place. And I'll probably land with that particular point. Is how hunger sets you up for encounters with God. And so that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, is encountering God and God encounters. Amen? And how many of you have had a significant encounter with God? Some of you need an encounter, a fresh encounter. Amen. And so I want to give a definition. What do we regard as an encounter as human beings? It's to meet with someone, to have a meeting, or to experience someone. So when you haven't seen a friend for a very long time, and they're at the airport, and you see their face, you start experiencing stuff. I mean, you haven't seen them for months and months, but there's emotions and energy and all sorts. That's what an encounter is. So I wanted to start off with my point number one. What is a God encounter? Because as God said, some people are all spooky. Do you float on a cloud? What happens? It's when God causes you to meet with him, experience him in your own personal way. So it's not like the guy next door. I'm not hoping I have an experience like Brad has. I'm trying to keep up with the amount of energy he has. I wouldn't just... And the scripture says to us, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. So you've heard the statement. Here it goes. I have an encounter with God to become the encounter so that others can have an encounter. That makes sense? And I think we've rehearsed that. I sort of adapted it, and I love your gather, grow, and go. You will not believe that we did that this year. Ours is Christ-centered family on mission, so we gather, grow, and go. That's our vision statement. And we open up our series this year with Christ in me, Christ through me. And then I go through at the back, then I see Christ, and I'm just like, gee, I'm home from home. So I'm very relaxed. But here's something I've put together, and I hope you can understand it. I use a lot of liberty when I preach. I stretch some thinking a little bit, some thoughts. And so, Brad, where you feel I need to come back into line, you can tell the elders when I've left. But... this is how the statement goes. We are a people who carry or host his presence, releasing his power and fulfilling his purpose wherever we go. And the name God has go in, and the word gospel has go in it. Hopefully you know that. And so therefore we gather to grow to go by encountering God, engaging in relationships, equipping for transformation, empowering to go, cause others to have an encounter. So I love that. That's God for me. It's not just a helpful vision statement. We are a people who carry his presence to release his power, to fulfill his purpose wherever we go. That is the gospel. And so there's two types of encounters. You can put encounters into two camps. Here they are. Those given by God in his sovereignty, which means you had nothing to do with it. Saul was on his road to Tarsus. Huh? He wasn't going, I'm ready for an encounter. Okay, that's one kind of encounter where God sovereignly breaks in and you've done nothing. Okay, the second one is those sought by you and me who are hungry and thirsty for more of Him. Those are the two types of encounters. And I love the first one when it happens. When you're just sitting reading your Bible and you're not asking God to do anything and His presence fills the room. You're on your face, you're shaking, you're rolling. All sorts of things are happening and you go, yeah, you want to try and tape it up. I've got big ears. It was to catch the Spirit easier. My wife's going, if you do it, you fiddle with your ear again, you get the mic. Is that good? I'm fine. Don't worry what I look like. Okay. So, I want to ask you a question. What was man's first encounter? Ah, I got the mind thinking, Brad. I want to take you into a moment when God breathed into Adam the breath of life. The first encounter with man. The breath runs through his body, up through his brain. He opens his eyes for the very first time and he becomes God conscious. That is man's first encounter. His only reference before sin is a God consciousness state. He only knows how to encounter God. How do I know that? Adam and Eve were naked and not ashamed. They weren't conscious. They had this incredible intimacy with God. They were sinless. I'm trying to imagine what it was like. You want to give me that? Yeah, give me that one. That's okay.
Good. And so I try to put myself in scripture and imagine being lifeless and breathing and everything that goes with biology and how our body works, but the Spirit flowing through Adam and opening up his eyes. What did the eyes register for the very first time? What was the brain thinking in that very instant moment? There was no space for sin. No space. That was our first encounter. And then, my lovely statement, I love making this, one thing happened that changed everything forever. One thing happened that changed everything forever. What do you mean by that? Glad you asked me. All right. When we sinned, we set something in motion that is continuing since the garden and will continue running its course throughout mankind all the way till the end. We cannot stop it. It's happening. And I could break it down to say, what are all the consequences of sin? Rape, murder, etc., etc., etc. And we can look at how it goes throughout mankind's history, the devastation of that one thing. The fall and the curse of sin meant that the authority to rule, reign, subdue, multiply, and inhabit and be fruitful was lost. We live and die in a sinful state. We inherited a rebellious nature towards God. Make sense? The impact affected our identity, our image, and like was said by Ian, our intimacy with God. It was a major setback for God's plans for us to impact, influence, inherit, and increase on the earth. I love all my eyes, by the way. God's original mission and mandate for mankind. There was no escaping death. We live outside the presence of God and His glory. And the scripture says that we've fallen short of the glory of God. Why? Because Adam had the glory of God. And so, we have to look at the Old Testament to see how God begins to encounter people through the Old Testament. And I will throw out some names. Abraham, he's a man that encounters God. He does incredible things. Then you get to Moses, and you see multiple encounters with Moses. The highlight being what? Oh, the glory of God. I want to see your glory. Something that Adam saw and lost, Moses is now asking to see. Have you ever thought about that, huh? No. But that's why I'm here. No, I'm joking. Joshua, David, all these men that encountered God. We look at the Tower of Babel, Red Sea, manna in the desert. We see people, when the glory of God falls in the temple, people fall down on their face. When last did you see someone fall down on their face? Yeah. Yeah, really a lot more of that. Not falling over, falling on your face. It's one thing to fall backwards when there's a catcher. It's another thing when the glory of God is so strong, you are propelled onto your face because of the weight of the glory of God in the place, and you go, surely God is in this place. I don't need some anointed man to pray for me. The presence of God has come. That's Old Testament covenant, how God came. And so the Old Testament people knew what it was like. The Israelites knew what it was like to encounter God. How do you know? Well, you have a cloud by day and a fire by night. Huh? I mean, I wouldn't mind that. Okay, there's a fire here. It's night time. Okay. Many different accounts that are, for time's sake, I'm just going to not go into all those things. But then, something happened that changed everything forever. Jesus comes onto the scene. So I'm building to a point where I'm going to explain why is it that you and I should, must, and can have encounters. Amen? We'll be able to answer that question for you. Jesus restored everything that was lost, and now we have access to the glory of God. And one day, we'll even receive glorified bodies. How's that? John 20, 30. Now Jesus did, I read this on the healing part that I taught yesterday. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, Ian, again, good man, you're on spot, bro. By believing, you may have life in his name. But one thing happened that changed everything forever. Jesus stepped onto the scene. And we know what he did. He went and he conquered sin, sickness, and the grave. He conquered it. So I want you to see something. In the Old Testament, he has men and women that are walking with God and constantly living with a carnal nature and been able to do about it. Imagine. Go see the high priest. Go pray these prayers. Go give dove. Go give whatever for your sins. I mean, it was pretty tough. And we live under a better covenant. We live under a better covenant. And Jesus gives a death blow on the cross. I want to say to you, when you look at the cross, and you look back to the garden, you can see, you can trace sin and its effect all the way to a moment. And then you turn around and you look forward and you see sin, sickness, and the grave conquered forever and ever. I want to show this. Now we jump forward into eternity. And we look at Jesus. And we see him. The Father and the Holy Spirit, I understand. But Jesus, I don't get, because he's a spirit, but now he's a spirit and a body. Come on. Come on. I want to show you that the Godhead was affected. The Father, Son, and the Holy was affected by Jesus coming. Do we know who came for us? Do we know what price he was willing to pay so that that which was stolen in the garden could be brought back so that we could have that intimacy that God originally intended us to have before sin came? And Jesus gave a death blow to say, not only now, but into eternity, sin, sickness, and death will never again be part of our equation as sons and daughters of God. One thing changed everything forever. What do you mean by everything? Well, one day we're going to die, right? Sin will have to stop. But when we get into eternity, and you and I look at Jesus, you will see scars. For how long will you see scars in his hands? For how long will you see where he was pierced? For how long will we look upon him who has a spirit and a body named Jesus? For how long into eternity will we be able to look upon that which he did? One thing happened that changed everything forever. Not just this life, but into eternity, into the Father's presence for eternity. We will always look on Jesus. One thing happened that changed everything forever. That is why you and I can have encounters. That is the reason why you and I can come into his presence and know, because you look at him who's seated at the right hand of the Father, ever interceding. And when we look, we see, man, his hands have nail scars in them. To this day, for all eternity, we will look and look and look and look, and we will see he did it for us. It'll never change. And all the hosts and the angels and all those that are in heaven will look again and say, man, he loves us. He loves us. Not only in this life, but in eternity, we'll be able to see the angels will look and say, he loves them. Wow, there's evidence. There's evidence. Jesus came and restored us. The cross is the most powerful revelation that will set you up for the greatest encounters, because you know who died on that cross. And the fact is that he rose again. Man, that means you and I are set up for encounters. When Jesus said, it is finished, he meant it. Now we try to add stuff. Come on. We try to add stuff. He said, it is finished. As the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and with trembling, for it's God who works in you to will and to work according to his great pleasure. The same spirit, I'm still going to get my hand around it. The same spirit that raised Jesus, come on, it's the same spirit that lives in you. I mean, the only reason why it's limited is because we focus on our carnal minds. And so we have to have our minds renewed so that we can understand what it is. And so one thing happened that changed everything forever. That's where our authority comes from. Because one thing happened that has changed everything forever. How do I know that? Well, right around the world, people have been healed, delivered, saved. Churches are planting. People are going on the mission field. Jesus' work has not stopped. The power of the cross continues to march towards the day when Jesus will return. A victory song, like Brad's song. We walk in victory. Even suffering has its place. And Jesus learned obedience from the things he suffered. And even in sufferings, you can find the greatest truths about who God is. But that's for another preach, sorry. So how can we now all have encounters? If encounters are meeting with God, how is it? What gives you the right? What gives you the audacity? What gives you the authority to go and receive from God? If you're in the Old Testament, you probably hope that you get born a Levite. Because you get to work in the temple. But if you weren't a Levite, man, you were very far from all the things that God was doing. But we're born into a new covenant in his blood. And it says you can boldly, come on, boldly come into his presence. How is it that you who are sinner to the core have the legal right to walk into the most holy presence ever imaginable and not be judged and stoned in that moment because Jesus paid the price in full? And therefore you can go in because his righteousness has been imputed to me. I stand righteous before him. Why? Because one thing happened that changed everything forever. The cross. Amen. And so, I told you this in the other one. Jesus' death and burial and resurrection meant Jesus defeated, dethroned, disarmed the devil. Jesus, by the way of the cross, inflicted on Satan a total, permanent, eternal, and irrevocable defeat. And we got to get a fresh revelation of the cross. Man, when I look at the cross, you know what happens to me? Courage. I get courage. Because I get perspective. I get perspective. What is the... He's put eternity in our hearts. I get an eternal perspective. That's why it's called eternal life. We're just pilgrims passing through. So I like to just pop this in and then I'll throw a few other things out. Because of the cross, our past, we've been justified. What does that mean? Separated from the penalty of sin. Come on. Here we go. Our present state is called sanctification. Separation from the power of sin. Now, listen to this. Future glorification. The separation from the presence of sin. Come on. Oh, come on. I mean, I don't know about you, but this is a momentary period that we're living. Come on. I count what I'm going through not worthy because of what lies ahead. Paul went a step further and he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I could choose, I would choose to die and be with Jesus. But because of your sake, I remain in this body so that I can be poured out as a drink offering. Have you met a man that was so captivated by Jesus that he said, I'd rather be with him than with you? Come on. You all went quiet on me there. So what is the purpose? What is the purpose of an encounter? Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That is the purpose of encounters. Transformation. I know people that have shaken, rattled, and rolled under the power of God. And a week later, there is no fruit. There's no evidence. I'm not judging them. Understand. The Bible says transformation. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, He works into you the nature of Christ. So we get it. Transformation. What's the purpose of encounters? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And the original understanding of that word is the word metamorphosis, which means from an incubator cocoon to a beautiful butterfly, like my wife. There we go. A metamorphosis. So change happens on the inside out. Listen to this. Romans 8. I don't know which verse it is. Somewhere around 26, 27. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image and the likeness of his son. Oh. 2 Corinthians 17, I think it's 3:17. Now the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Listen to this. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being, there's that word again. Twice you're going to find that in the New Testament. Being transformed into the same image, listen, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Transformation. Friday night, you would have heard me speak about intimacy and the love of God. And I want to say it again, that the love of God is the most transforming power you and I will ever experience, is the love of God. This is how you will know that these are my disciples. Well, how do we know that you are a disciple? By the way you love. That's the measuring stick. Not how much anointing you've got. Because I can operate in my gift and you can think I'm super spiritual just because I know how to activate the Holy Spirit and how to work with the anointing. But Jesus measures it by the capacity you have to love one another. So I love that word capacity. So what does that mean? Oh, by the way, it says, this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's the Spirit that does the work. I got 5 quick points for transformation. Number 1, you grow up in becoming more like Jesus. Scripture says that we become mature and the fullness of Christ. We can read that in Ephesians. Number two, we go deeper. Go deeper where? In a level of intimacy and our knowledge with God. So, talking about transformations, what does it look like? We grow up to become more like Christ. We go deeper in levels of intimacy and knowledge of God. We grow in our capacity, listen to this, to carry and release His presence and His power to fulfill His will wherever we go. Number four, we grow more in faith. I wonder where I heard that. Won't mention any names. All right. Whereby we become more faithful and more fruitful. That's what encounters should be. More faithful and more fruitful. Fruitful is the evidence that something's happening. Faithful comes from the word full of faith. I'm full of faith. Faithfulness. And then the last one, which is very important, is that you go cause others to have encounters. Might I make a suggestion? That sometimes we don't experience what God really wants to do is because we haven't settled the issue that we're going to give it away. So why give you something if I know you're not going to give it away? And sometimes I get to say, God's going to break in, and He doesn't. And I go, Father, why did you hold back? Well, it's because it's about them. Actually, it's about the lost one. I want to step on toes, but I have to behave. Thanks. I remember being here a year ago, Brad, and I felt something. Thought, that's interesting. I won't say anything. And I'm back a year later. I think we were there in May. I can't remember, somewhere around there. And I felt it again in worship. So I thought, well, maybe I better share it in case it's helpful. And so I'm putting it to the elders. But I felt like God said, get ready, because there's a whole lot of African people God is bringing into this church. And it's not going to be comfortable for some of you. And you're going to need to make some adjustments, because the type of people that God is going to bring is not going to be the type that fit well with you and your world. Amen? Amen? He's bringing them. But they might not be the ones that you want. Amen? My brothers and my sisters here, amen? Understand what I'm saying? God is going to bring more African people, because 85 to 90% of this population consists of African people. I am an African, but I'm a white African. But I'm African. I'm African in my blood. In fact, I won't go there, because we're a very multicultural church. We've got some weird jokes. The Oaks might not enjoy them. Anyway. I want to tell you, God wants to give you some significant African people that will shake things in your city. But are you ready for them? Are you ready for them? It wasn't part of my notes, so if your elders witnessed, great. If you don't, it's okay. I know how to chew bones. So I just want to make a statement and talk a little bit about my experiences. So I want to set people free, because I have made it part of my mission to kick in the goons, if you can say it like that, this thing called the fear of man. Because a whole part of my Christian walk, I was robbed because of that spirit, or the fear of man. And my brain was so programmed to behave in a certain way, because I needed people's acceptance so that they would make me feel that who I am is okay for society, if you know what I mean. So some of the things that I've experienced where God has overwhelmed me with His love for myself, where He's shown me His love, He's overwhelmed me for people, and He's overwhelmed me for nations. I've also been in meetings where the Spirit of God was so holy, it was fearful to be in the meeting. When else have we seen that? I've been in meetings where it was like we were in the fear of God. I remember Ray Oliver standing on our pulpit. There's a whole lot of us. He had come back from the Brownsville revival, those of you know the Pensacola revival, and there was a song called The Mercy Seat. Anyone of the older generation would have known. And he said, I come running to the mercy seat. And they used to play that in the revival, and people would just run. So Ray just plays that clip, just the clip. And he stands there. He's never seen him ever cry or get emotional. There's a tear running down his head. And before we know it, the power of God hits us. No one got prayed for. People got thrown all over the place. There were people shaking under chairs. It was wild. I opened my eyes just to check if I could see anything, because I'm quite nosy when God moves. I'm like, I haven't seen that before. There are people bouncing under chairs. No one praying. Just pa 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 pa, and it's all simultaneously just happening. And I'm going, oh my word, what on earth is this? That was an encounter with God. That's what Brad said. You know, just one thing in the presence of God, if it had just popped over us, what would happen? I've been in meetings where I couldn't stand, I laughed so much. And I'll say a little bit more about that just now. I've been in meetings where I felt the fire of God. I could feel it all over my body. It was weird, but it was exhilarating at the same time. I want to free people up, because we have these things that there's only certain ways you can experience God, and there's certain things that can happen. I want to tell you that when you encounter God, he said in the beginning, God created. Has God fully exhausted his ability to minister to us in a creative way? But we have locked them in to say, you did it like that, you did it like that. Therefore, when you come, you better do it like this and this. Otherwise, it's not you. Come on. I think I'm standing on some toes. I've been in meetings where I have wept because I was so convicted of sin. That a couple of minutes ago, it was still going kosher. And then I walk into a meeting where his presence comes, and I'm weeping because I start to see how I've grieved the Holy Spirit. There's times I felt the oil of the Lord. It literally felt, I could like, you can't see it, but I mean, my senses, I could tell, flip, there's something on me. Been in meetings where his heart of compassion, it would get so intense that the only way I could do it was kind of the compassion. It was overwhelming. It's not a compassion that I can say in an English word. It's a deep compassion that rises up from the Spirit. And when it gets released in you, it's like, oh, God released his compassion. It is heart-wrenching. Heart-wrenching when he releases compassion in you. You can't just stay the same. There's times I've read my Bible, and because he's opened the scriptures, the only thing I can do is weep, because the scriptures are so life-changing. It's just truth washing my soul. And I'm going, oh, Jesus, this is so good. You've obviously heard, God's given me revelations of the cross. I was in Zimbabwe on a mission with Guy again. And I remember he said, hey, let's pray before we go to some ministry. So we're in this room busy praying. And the presence of God comes into the room. And I just kneel down. It's like, yeah, it's getting a bit heavy in here. I can't stand. And I remember opening up my eyes. And it was like I was looking at the cross. And Jesus was still on the cross. And I saw this blood thing running down him. Just a drop of blood. Whew, like this. And it stopped. And in that blood droplet was my name. I was just like, God, I don't have words. How do I respond back to you? That's just like, that's an encounter. That's a meeting place. He just opened it up. I remember I was traveling back from Brazil once, and I was on the plane, and I just sometimes just have conversations with God. You know, because you don't even know everyone on the plane. And, you know, so I was like, okay, God. I mean, sometimes I even have to try and sit still, because when God sometimes touches me, I start moving and things like start happening. I'm thinking, the person thinking, is that having a fit? Do I need to call the nurse? I was like, don't worry, it's God. It's like, he needs help, medicine as well. Anyway. And Things like this can be imprinted in your memory for life. I'll never forget it. These things, they are part of my memory forever. So this one time, felt the Holy Spirit say, do you wanna see the cross? And I'm like, yeah. And you know how your brain thinks like, okay, it's going to show, because the Holy Spirit says, I was there. But you forget that. I was there. And so it's like he took a millisecond of a video from the Holy Spirit's perspective, showing me Jesus on the cross. I thought I was going to have, my heart was going to burst out of my chest. I was like, oh my word, the Holy Spirit was there. And he gave me a glimpse, an aspect of what it was like, and I couldn't handle it. Just a moment like that, and I was like, whoa, Holy Spirit, flip, you were there. Of course he was. Of course he was. He can be witness. That's an encounter that you can have with God. I've experienced the presence of angels. I remember the first time, I haven't many times, but there's been about three very significant times. But the one time I remember, one of my friends was preaching at One Life Church, now NCF, and he made a strong challenge. I couldn't even remember what it was, but I just wanted to have an encounter with Jesus. So I went up, and the guys came and prayed for me, and I was like, oh, thanks, that's great. And I thought, you know what, I want to go sit down next to the pulpit because I'm feeling a bit lightheaded. And I thought, let me lie down, just because I'm getting up. Maybe after a few beers, you know, that kind of feeling is. I'm not quite this. So I thought I'd lie down, just gently enjoy this moment. And then I just remember things spinning, and I'm like, no, I'm going to get up. I think I need to go home now. And when I got up, I was intoxicated like you won't believe. And my wife, unfortunately, she's never seen that. So, but I was intoxicated, and I was fully convinced that I could walk to the chairs and then get my keys. Every time I stood up, I would just go, I was completely intoxicated. And the more when I closed my eyes, the more intense the presence would get. So I just, don't close your eyes, don't close, because it's present. I remember getting in the car with these, well, they carried me to the car, sat down, and the guys were like, okay, and I just said, there's a presence of an angel in the car, I can feel it. I've never been able to do that. They even know that you could, or whether you should say that you can feel an angel. That's how naive I was. I just was like, I'm experiencing something and there's an angel in the car. We did a PTP once, and I remember walking into the room. I could sense the presence of healing angels in the room. I was like, how do I know that? God was just saying, that's just a taste of my world. Just taste. And then you sent that lovely lady to come and tell me. She can see angels moving amongst us as we ministered on Friday night. I was like, come on, come on. And then I've experienced deliverance. God's presence came so strong on me that I manifested. Hello? Now I just speak some of you. Because the enemy throws attacks and sometimes things stay on and attach themselves and we're going on, we don't realize. And that particular case was a spirit of fear had gripped me in an area of my life. And when God came, my wife was with me. I said, no, something's wrong here. I said, love, it's a spirit of fear. Pray for me. Manifested, and that thing left me. I encountered God. Jesus, when you cast out a demon, what do you say? The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come. So I want to just throw out a couple of other manifestations, because what am I doing is I'm setting people free that when God comes, we don't take our carnal minds and try and start unpicking how God chooses to minister to people, because it offends our carnal nature that someone will scream, someone will say fire, someone will just suddenly have deliverance. I mean, I've watched when people have fallen under the power and deliverance starts happening in the church. It's like they've never read their Bible. Oh, what's happening to you? I'm like, Jesus ministry. You know, if you hung around him, this was common, you know. Am I in the right place? We just think that when someone manifests a demon, there has to be something seriously wrong because our hearts only manifest now. Or maybe they only came to the point of repentance now. Therefore, God could move. Up until then, the devil had a legal right. Makes sense? So, here goes. Conviction of sin, weeping, heat, wind, Been in a prayer meeting, and the guy said, did you see the wind? I said, no, it's from outside. They said, there's no windows open, Mark. Did you feel the wind? I was the only oak that didn't see. I was leading the prayer meeting. I didn't feel the wind. These oaks felt the wind. They said, it's here. I said, guys, come here. Boom. God starts ministering. There's a wind here. Wind. Sometimes when I hear wind, I look for windows. Because the Holy Spirit is like, anyway, shaking, visions, fire, joy, peace, experiencing the angelic, baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've prayed for people, not asking if they speak in tongues. They come up for something else. They get smacked by the Holy Spirit. They hit the ground and start speaking in tongues. And I'm going, what's going on? I thought you could speak in tongues. No, I got it now. Are we open to that? Experiencing his deep personal love. Revelation. I've mentioned healing. Some people experience the anointing increasing in certain moments. I won't go there either. People have experienced going into the Holy of Holies, even in trances. I could go on and on and on, but the fear of God. People smell things. People taste things. Gold dust. Oh, here we go. I pray for one of the sweetest ladies I've ever known in our church. She's now in the UK, in her 60s. She just stood there, and I was like, I could feel the presence so strong, but I couldn't pick up. And then I looked at her hands. She didn't even see it. She had gold dust on her hands. She wasn't even asking for it. And then I had to draw her attention. You had to put her glasses on, the old lady. Oh, wow. The clack stopped praying for this young guy. And I'm busy praying for him. Busy praying for him, and he says, hey, stop. He says, feel it. It's just this oil just all over his hands. Next meeting, he comes to me to pray for him again. So I'm like, hey, bro, you got the oil, baby. He gets oil again. I'm like, no ways, bro. I'm shortchanged. Where's this angel? I have to have a chat with him. Where's my oil? Come on. You with me? I could go on of all sorts of things. Just want to quickly take 3 or 4 minutes, if that's all right, Brad, just to set us up. I'm very aware of time. I want to tell you one particular time. I was in my 20s, and we used to have a men's prayer meeting. And there were some big men in our church. One of them was Martin Burnt, this big, big, big guy, and a whole lot of other men and some young guys. I remember we started crying out to God. God hit that place. I'm not used to men crying. I saw grown men sob like babies in that prayer meeting when God got hold of us. I tell you, God's no respect. I was like, oh my God, what's happening? Even the grown men are crying like babies. So encounter, I've seen God undo the most altogether people in people's eyes. We had one of the nicest guys, his name was Lance Cott. He was one of the elders in the church, and he was like Mr. Big Teddy Bear. And if you got a out of him, a loud, that was a lot. He was very timid, very quiet. I remember the one meeting, the Holy Spirit hits. Oh, Mr. Carter just goes flying down on the ground. As he goes, roar! Coming out. I was like, what the heck? And then, roar! And then you could see, it was like, and then he just roared. And everyone's like, Lance! If it's Lance, then it has to be God, because he would never do that. He roared. I mean, he was red from embarrassment. I mean, because he was just aware. I mean, if it was in his own room, it's okay, because it's me and God. But he's roaring, and he's seeing all the eyes on him. Like, okay, God, this is really great for my identity and my self-image. Roar! Thank you for confirmation. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's such authority in a roar. And then hunger. Number 11. I haven't stuck with all my points. Number 11. Hunger sets us up for encounter. 12 quick points. Hopefully they're going to be helpful. How to set you up to stay hungry for an encounter. Number 1. Settle the fear of man, or you'll always restrict what God can do in you. Settle it. Settle it. If you're going to be hungry for encounters with God, you need to settle the thing of the fear. What do I mean by that? When God touches you, and it's not ladylike, settle it. that you're not going to worry what people think. Because the men and women of God that have had the hugest impact in history, in revivals, and great awakenings, had very interesting manifestations happen to them. If they had the fear of man, they would have not been able to sustain those encounters. We have to settle that I don't really worry what you think if it's God. I laugh because my friend Guy, whenever the anointing comes, he does that. Sometimes even with his his coffee, he does that, you know. And I just like, that must be so irritating that every time you put your focus on God. So on Friday night, we have to pray for people, you know. So I pray for Cheryl. When I was like, she jerked. I was like, oh, shucks. Because Cheryl's quite a altogether. And so I pray, and she jerks again. And I was like, shucks, no, man. So I said, like, is that? She says, no, since Bethel. I was like, oh, okay. You and Guy got a thing going. He does this. She does this. I was like, but I mean, you do that and it can be awkward. Okay. Number two, surrender control of being in control when he moves. Surrender control of being in control when he moves. God's moving, I need to be in control. Surrender, ability to be in control. I hope that's helpful. Humility before God. Nothing will quench the Holy Spirit more when you start thinking it's about you. It's not about you. It's about him and you reaching others. Number four, be willing to go to the unfamiliar or the unknown with God. We like to work in a reference where we've always been here before. Have you know when you go to a new place on a holiday, everything, you have to ask so many questions because you've never been there. I want to tell you, you can go places with God that are unfamiliar if you're hungry. Number five, I love this one. Be open to the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Number six, see that quick, eh? Hang out with those who carry something significant. The anointing rubs off. Hang around with those who carry the anointing. It rubs off. Number seven, keep pressing into all of God. The all of God meaning the fullness of revelation. Never settle for the revelation you've got. There's always more. There's always more. So I have this thing, just about me, it's my thing, that when I meet someone that is more hungrier than I am for God, I say, God, if you can do it for him, then take me past that. I use people's hunger to inspire me to be more hungry because I need to stay hungry because hunger sets you up for encounters with God. Cultivate God's faith in your heart. Feed on the word. Feed on the word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Number nine, add action to your faith. You have to take risks. Number 10, be motivated by love. Otherwise, everything else is a sounding gong. Number 11, passionately pursue spiritual gifts. Pursue love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. So there's not to say, hey, if you're hungry, the Bible tells us pursue love and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. And lastly, and very importantly, pray and adding to prayer, fasting. Prayer and fasting makes you more hungry. In closing, I want to make a statement. I hope you'll like it. Bill Johnson says this: God is in me for my sake, and he is on me for yours. So there's times I have an encounter that God does something in me, and there's other times God does something because he wants me to go and cause others to have an encounter. Have an encounter so that you can become the encounter so that others can have an encounter. And my last point, listen to this. The Holy Spirit goes where he is welcome, remains where he is recognized, and moves where he is given freedom. The Holy Spirit, yeah, I like that, eh? Come on, there's my gang. You guys can come back with me. Sorry, Brad. It's called church growth. I'll read it again. The Holy Spirit goes where he is welcome, remains where he is recognized, and moves where he is given freedom. That's called an atmosphere of faith. See, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so tonight, what I wanted to do was to stir in you to jealousy, to stir you to the point of, man, I've got to get more hungry. I said to the Lord, Father, if I come here and one person becomes so hungry and so desperate, it was worth it. I said, because that one encounter can have the greatest impact I could ever imagine, because that encounter led to others' encounters, that now that one encounter, because of their faith and their obedience, led to a harvest. So I said, Father, if it takes one person who says in their heart, I will pursue God for an encounter that is so transforming that I have to transform the others around me, well then, so be it. That's why I started off on Friday, and I said, God is looking for some wild men and women. And if you're not that, God said, I'm going to touch you in such a way that when I'm finished with you, you will be my wild man and my wild woman. What will be the difference? I've touched you. And you'll never be the same. Saul, one touch, and a Paul. I want to give you hope. Can I do that? One story, Brad, then I'm done, because this, I feel, was helpful. One of my spiritual sons, Will Hart, who is an associate evangelist of Global Awakening, found himself making room for the Spirit one night on the floor in a basement of a small church in a great place in America. Don't worry about that. Will was a rebellious young man dabbling in Satanism and drugs. You might say Will was formless and void in the midst of great darkness when God's Spirit touched him that October night, 1999. He recounts the following encounter with the Holy Spirit. It's not that long. For me, salvation, deliverance, surrender, baptism, impartation all took place in 20-minute span on the floor of a small Assembly of God church. It's what I call the first full-blown sozo moment. 1 minute I was listening to the message, and the next I started weeping. The speaker was a man named Bob, who had become instrumental in my spiritual growth. I'd heard the words, Jesus loves you, countless times before, but when Bob spoke them that night, the power of God backed it up. The precious embrace of God's love fell over my entire body. I was completely undone by a baptism of love. There was no other response, listen to this, but to run to the front of the room and cry out for more. No one has asked this oak for prayer. No one said, the Holy Spirit's moving now. Do you sense him? This is God just showing off. When I did, I fell to the floor and lay there shaking violently. Yeah, picture this. This is a drug addict, Satanist guy. I mean, God's touching him. He's like, I got to go to the front. And he's like, violently. I mean, you try to picture this. And this is not, now this is talking about 1999, eh? So in between sobs, I found myself crying out to God saying, I don't know what this is, but I want it. Was that typical of Bob? He didn't leave me lying on the floor for long. In the midst of this incredible baptism of love, I felt the toe of Bob's shoe on my ribcage. What are you doing on the ground, boy? Boom, Bob's voice. It's time to go to work. With this, Bob picked me up off the floor, stood me in front of a man waiting to receive prayer. I had never prayed for anyone like this before. Bob took my hand and placed them on the face of the man, and we both not Bob, the person I was praying for, fell to the ground weeping. Bob commanded and married the touch of God, launched into my ministry that continues to this day. As I've touched this man's face, I learned something from the Holy Spirit. Many spend years trying to figure out, God has touched me for a reason. 20 minutes. Everything. Deliverance, healing, baptism, sozo, anointing, healing, first person, boom, done. To this day, he writes there, that fire has never rescinded. That fire continues. To this day, he says, God has put me through thousands, through hundreds, through 50s. He says, every time, to this day, God still moves in power in that guy's ministry. That was a non-believer who was on drugs with Satanism, and he has a love encounter that sets him on a completely different stage. He could never set himself up that good. Never, ever. God just went, did you see that? Why do I say it? Because it gives us hope. Because sometimes we think people come in here, they need to spend the next 7 years working out their drug addict and their occult. But then you say, actually, God can touch and deliver you and set you free and put you in ministry in 20 minutes.